Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is December 18, 2014, and I'm so thankful that you joined us at NoBetterWay.net. My name is Rudy Zablocki, and tonight's show is titled Faith in Action. Tonight's reflection verses are from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace through faith that you've been saved, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the text. So God's word is telling us plainly that we are saved by faith, not by works. But it also says that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So when we come to faith in Jesus, whether as a young child or later as a teen or older adult, the Lord begins his work in us. He is transforming our lives and our hearts. As we read God's word, the Holy Spirit moves us. As followers of Jesus, becoming compassionate for our fellow man, our neighbors, we start to care for others. God has given all of us special talents that we can use to advance God's eternal kingdom. C.H. Spurgeon, a Holy Spirit-filled preacher in the early 1900s, wrote, "If thou lovest Christ, then he will serve him. If thou not serve him, thou art not his." So C.H. Spurgeon is saying plainly, if we love Jesus, we will serve. If we think that we just put our faith in Jesus and kick back, relax, or the world is crying out for the love of Christ, then we have to question that person's faith. And if it's real, for even the demons believe Jesus is Lord and shudder in fear of his almighty power, yet the demons do not serve him. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24 reads, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." So when we hold dear to our hearts a faith in Jesus as our Savior, always repenting of our sins, we should never take our sins lightly, and respond to our saving faith with the desire to serve others with the love of the gospel, we can say we possess a true faith in Jesus. That is a faith in action. Amen. So if someone talks of their salvation as if by their own works, that is worse than vanity. Just like Ephesians 2 says, it is not by works, lest no man boast. So we can again say that it is a true faith that produces good works, which saves us. But I say that a faith which does not produce works is a faith that will deceive. Our works is in response to what Jesus has done for us. He died for us. Amen. It's like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it." Amen. The title of the show, Faith in Action, is about our works and serving Jesus. I would also like to say that also part of our faith in action is about our repentant hearts. Do we do a daily examination of our sins? Do we confess it and pray to turn from our sins and seek to live holy lives serving the Lord? Also, is our faith in action doing works of secret? What I mean by secret, it's your time with the Lord where it's just you and him. That private time spent with the Lord in prayer, in reading God's word, also meditating on his word, communion with Jesus, taking the bread and wine, which nourishes our faith, and then doing fellowship with the Holy Spirit, where we seek his power to serve in mighty ways. I liked when I read in the book of Corinthians, it says that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. So I think sometimes we don't seek the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and yet it says right there in Corinthians that it's available to us. So we need to pray and seek that mighty power that the Holy Spirit can fill us and give us. In John chapter 14, verses 23 through 24, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." These words are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Amen. So Jesus is saying, if you're a follower, if you love me, you will be obedient to his teaching. You will do what Jesus says. Didn't Jesus say the greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself? As humans, we are limited at times as how much or where we serve. But if we see a neighbor in need, we can go and help him, can pray for him. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So Jesus is saying there is much work to be done for his disciples. And so he's calling out to us all to put our faith in action. Okay, we're going to take a little break right now. I'm going to play this song. This is by Pam Thumb. "Life is hard, but God is good." I'm playing this song because life has been hard. It's been hard for myself and for my family. My sister-in-laws, Shirley, Sue, and Jan, and all the family. A little over 6 months ago, I lost my wife, Judy, their sister. And then just a couple weeks ago, we lost my brother-in-law, Jerry, their brother. So life has been very hard. And so I'm going to play this song just kind of in honor of the family and just to reflect on everything. It's a beautiful song. "Life is hard, but God is good." Hope you enjoy.
Your bags on the floor. You reach for the light, but there's darkness deep inside, and you can't take it anymore. 'Cause sometimes living takes the life out of you, and sometimes living is all you can do. Life is hard, the world is cold, we're barely young and old. But every falling tear is always
Okay, I'm back, folks. What a beautiful song. I like the words where it says, you try to pray, but there's just nothing left to say. And sometimes you give the Lord your heart. You just say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. But He knows your heart, and He'll just take that heart and embrace you. I'm going to give out the number. Anyone out there to give me a call. Everyone's got a story. I'd love for you to share. Call and just want to talk for a few minutes. Love to have you call into the show. The number is 347-989-0095. We're all friends, folks. All on the path. All walking the path with the Lord. So welcome to call in. I'm going to read a psalm that kind of hit me. I read this earlier today. Psalm 33, verses 18 through 22. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Amen. So here we are. It's December 18th, and we're a week away from Christmas. And I have to say that I barely have done any Christmas shopping. Like usual, I'm always lagging behind on that stuff. And I don't know how your Christmas shopping is going, but my pastor once said, you know, we all do too much at Christmas time. It becomes too exhausting. I think just realizing the true meaning of Christmas, that Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, He came to die for us, you know, to realize the true meaning of Christmas, and then also the importance of family and friends. And so kind of shrink all those actions there as far as Christmas. So, you know, you may be exhausting yourself, and I'm just telling you, give yourself a break this year. Do less. and enjoy your family, your loved ones, and go to a worship service on Christmas to praise God for his gift. Again, I'm going to give the number 347-989-0095. So you're welcome to call. Somebody's got a story. Maybe they've got a Christmas story. Or maybe they want to share a ministry that they're doing. Something that might be relative to Christmas time. This is a wonderful time, and yet it could be a tough time. It could be a time of where people are missing loved ones, are going through some ill health. So the Christmas time now doesn't bring a lot of joy right now. Maybe you have a story you'd love to share with me. I'd love to hear it. I'm going to read a little more from the Psalms. I'll just go right down the page. In Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves me and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. I love this verse. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Amen. So it's Christmas time, and I just look at the craziness of the world. You see all the sales going on, and everybody running around, waiting in lines, and maybe even getting to a store hours before it opens, and they're just so worried about buying all these things on sale. And, I often wonder, all these people, I wonder how their faith is. Where's their enthusiasm as far as their faith? This craziness of Christmas, I mean, the real meaning of Christmas. I remember watching the movie It's a Wonderful World with Jimmy Stewart, and the one thing I loved about that movie was at the end, when Jimmy Stewart, he had lost some money from the bank, and they were going to indict him for, embezzling funds from the bank. Mr. Potter was all, involved with throwing, Jimmy Stewart, Bailey in the movie, his name was called, and so the people heard that, that the law was coming down on, you know, upon him hard, and he was going to be, you know, arrested. And this was Christmas Day, and all the folks in the town, you know, they all knew George and all the love that he had spread, you know, amongst the people there, and how he had helped everyone. So they came to George's aid. They all gathered up money, you know. They threw in all their savings, you know. Even one lady, she kind of joked that was the money for her dowry, you know. When she was going to get married, she had saved money, and she threw that money in there. So it was just like such a wonderful story of love, of giving, and you know, and I would love to see our country go back to those type of days where things were simpler, you know, and they had the love of God in their hearts and just generous hearts. I know there's good stories still out there, but our country has fallen so far from the true meaning of Christmas. And I think we all need to pray, you know, pray for the faith of this nation, pray for that the people would repent and there would be a nationwide revival, you know, come back to the Lord, and our country would live, you know, live in faith, not in greed and pursuing their own comforts. Again, patiently waiting for a call. Anyone out there, my brother-in-law, John, if you're listening, give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. You're a wonderful man of God. Shirley, if you'd like to call in, I'd love to hear from you. Have just a few words to chat, just for a few minutes even, just to call in and say hi. My brother Casey, if you're out there. Also, Casey down in Texas, if you're listening, call in. Love to hear from you. My son Dave, my co-host, you're welcome to call in. Okay, well, we were talking about faith in action. So my question to you is, do you feel like your life, your faith is active? Are you living a life seeking to serve the Lord? Do you have a ministry going on? Or are you part of a ministry? Is there ministries at your church that you're part of? There might be a PADS, a homeless shelter night where you volunteer, or you might visit a senior home and, you know, do a Bible study with the seniors, or maybe Meals on Wheels, something going on, or maybe it's just that you're a prayer warrior and you just you spend hours upon hours every day praying for others, praying for our country, our leaders, praying for revival. There's things that, you know, these questions I'm asking, I'd love for you to call and talk to me about these ministries. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now. Since I have quiet phone lines, I'm going to play another song. And that'll, you know, we can just reflect on the song, and then I'll get back to you in a couple minutes. I'm going to play Amazing Grace. I hope you enjoy.
Save a wretch.
welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Glad you called in.
Hey, how's it going over there in the Chicagoland area?
Well, hello, David, my son. Thank you for calling in. Things are going as best as they can be. I'm having a good show tonight. I'm doing a show on the title of Faith in Action. So we're just talking about how, you know, once we come to faith in Christ, how our lives are, you know, we put our faith in action. So.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people, unfortunately, say with their mouth that they believe in Jesus and they have faith in him, but their whole life kind of live their whole life like he doesn't exist. We're all guilty of that to some degree when we're focusing on ourselves and what we want, not really serving him. Yeah, when I saw what your topic was going to be about, I looked up a couple of verses.
Mm-hmm.
And thought they were pretty cool. So I got one, 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. But consider what great things he has done for you. It's kind of cool. So you think about all the things God has done for us, and then it causes us to fear him and serve him.
Yeah, kind of like a response, right? We're responding just like someone that does some wonderful thing for us. We respond with love in return. But in regards to Jesus, I mean, he died for us. He paid the price for our sins, and then rose the third day, and we have that eternal hope. So we have so much to be thankful and respond with works to serve him.
Yeah, love and obedience. I think did a message on Deuteronomy 6, and just to see how tied together they are is love and obedience. Jesus says, "You love me, you'll keep my commandments." And Gospel of John 14, and you see in Deuteronomy 6 as well, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love God with everything you have." And it says, "Keep his commandments on your heart," you know. So love and obedience and serving him and obeying him is what you said is a response to his love. He loved us first, so we love him. And when we love him and respect him, we serve him. And share him with others, share his truth and love with other people, and serve his kingdom. It's just a natural response to our love for him.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, Dave, sometimes, you know, our human element, we don't really feel like going, you know, there's a like a little tap on your shoulder by the Holy Spirit that you need to, you know, do this or do that. And he's moving you to go wherever, and he needs you to get some work done. And part of you is resisting. And then I don't know about, I'm sure the same thing with you, Dave, when sometimes the times when I really don't feel like doing something, you know, and I go and, you know, whatever, I visit the convalescent home or the senior home or whatever, when you're done, you're on your way home, you just feel so blessed.
Yeah. I mean, our life mission is to love and serve God and to enjoy him and to have a relationship with him. And that relationship was destroyed through sin. And Jesus made a way to reconcile. You know, we've got Christmas coming up. God came to the earth, lived the perfect life, died for our sins, rose again. So those who believe in him can be reconciled to God. Their relationship with God can be put back together. And when you give Jesus your life, it's not just say, "Hey, give me that free ticket to heaven." Saying, you know, I believe you're the true King, you're the promised King, you're the promised Savior. I serve you, and my life is dedicated to you. So, yeah, I think the world will send us a message that you know, live a life that makes you happy, live a life that makes you feel fulfilled. Do what you want to do, and then God will just passively stand by and pat you on the back for doing a couple nice things here and there along the way. But in reality, our whole life is to serve Him, to do His will. We're His creation, and we're His children when we adopt into His family, when we accept Him as Savior. So our whole life should be spent dedicated to serving Him. But you're right, it's we do have a tendency towards selfishness and laziness and wanting to do what we want to do. That's definitely true.
Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry, a little senior moment here. But I wanted to say that, you know, sometimes, you know, you could be so tired, you know, like doing, you know, working for the Lord, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm sure there's days when you get back from work, day working at church, that you're really, you know, exhausted. But I heard an old-time preacher say, you know what, even if you're tired, it's a good tired. There's nothing wrong with being tired working for the Lord. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I went to a men's conference, and they actually said, they said, you know, men are kind of meant to be tired, because it's like, you know, part of the curse in the beginning was, you know, your work is going to be toilsome. So it's like God promised that men are going to be tired from their work from the beginning because of sin. You know, in heaven we'll work for God, but we don't have that exhaustion like we have on earth. But to work for God so much and so hard, and really to do anything you do is for the Lord. So you go to work during the day, whatever you're doing, you could do it in a way that honors God. And you're going to be tired from that. You know, whenever you put your whole heart and soul and mind and strength into doing things in a way that would worship and honor God, that's going to be really tiring, to be honest with you. And God promised we'd be tired. And I think it's when we're not tired, when we're being lazy, when we're being selfish, that's when we find ourselves getting into trouble, getting into sin.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the word, but there's so many Christians that are they're Christians, but they just need to get it. I mean, to know that that they need to take that next step. You know, like they love church, they love going to church on Sunday. You know, and but it seems like it's church on Sunday and you know, and maybe if, like you said, a few things that they volunteer at, but other than that, they need to take that step, that next step in serving God. You know, they need to get, like you were saying, they need to get tired, you know, whatever that may be. You know, I mean, God has a ministry for all of us. And like you said, with the curse of sin, man was now made to toil and be tired, right?
Mhm. Yeah, for sure. And one day it won't be like that, you know, when we spend an eternity with the Lord. But in the meantime, we could expect to be tired and you know, gonna be grinding away. But yeah, there's so many things that we can be doing for the Lord. The most important thing is sharing Jesus with people, sharing the gospel with people, with our families, with our friends, with our neighbors. That's Matthew 28. That's the Great Commission. So if you decide to follow Jesus and be a disciple, then the great call for your life becomes to share the gospel with people. And that's not an optional thing. That's not just for pastors or leaders in the church. That's for every believer in Christ, to anyone who considers himself a disciple of Jesus, to go out there in the world and share the gospel with people. So that in itself is a big job. And that, excuse me. And then there's so many people out there that need God's love, people that are hurting, people that are orphaned, people that are widowed, people that are poor, that we can help meet their physical needs. But ultimately, everything we should do should be telling them about Jesus as well. So if we're going to help mothers in need, you know, collecting diapers, or if we're going to help the widows or the orphans. We definitely want to share Jesus and let them know that we're doing that, to share the love of Jesus with them.
Yeah. What is it in the book of James where it says the purest form of religion is taking care of widows and orphans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you said that, I thought of that. And I think sometimes you can get a little intimidated. Well, I don't know how to share the gospel. I was just thinking, how about just sharing your story? You know, just sharing your faith, and just talk about how you came to faith. You know, and anyone can tell their story. You know, if you lived it, Dave, you could tell it. You know, so I mean, we can make it very personal, and you know, without getting too intimidated. Like, oh, I don't know that many verses. You know, all you need to know is John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8. 8:9, and maybe a Romans 10:9, and just a couple of verses. But I think if you can say, I'm going to just share my story, that might make it a little easier for people.
Yeah, people want to know, is God real? Is it true? Is Jesus real? And so people are really interested in they're living an existence just like we are. They want to know. They don't want to just hear people talk about it. They want to know that it's real, because there's so many religions out there. But they want to, if Christianity is true, the true faith, the saving faith, then they want to hear experiences that people have in it. So you could say, who was I before I met Jesus? What happened that led me to a relationship with him? What happened, what led me to believe in him? And what was that experience of coming to faith like? And then how that's helped to form who I am today. So it's like who I was before, what happened that led me to believe in Jesus, and then how has he transformed my life. So that's a good way to do it. And like you said, if you know John 3:16 and you're a believer in Jesus, you should have if you're a true believer, you'll have the Holy Spirit. You should know the basics of the faith to be able to share that at least with people. You know, you don't have to be ready to answer 40 questions. You could always, encourage people, to get their own Bible, and that you'd be willing to study the Bible with them and get back to them with answers to their questions and stuff. But, most people aren't going to start grilling you right off the bat. And if they do, you say, hey, if you're interested in this, I'll write down all your questions. We can get together and study the Bible.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of couple of my friends, they carry a bunch of Bibles in their trunk, and if there's a moment, where they see a person and they're talking to them about their faith, and they seem really interested, and they'll just give them one of their Bibles, and mm-hmm. that's a great thing too, to equip them, with the Word, and you can recommend reading the Gospel of John, all the Gospels, you could kind of help them, and that's another tool that you could use.
Yeah, passing out Bibles for sure. That'd be a key thing. Asking people if they have a Bible, and if they don't, handing one of those to them. And if they do, like you said, tell them to read the Gospel of John, and should give them an idea of who Jesus is right away. But yeah, so that, sharing the Gospel is definitely one of the ways to have faith in action, like you're talking about tonight, then helping to meet people's needs as well. So, I think a good, healthy church is doing a little bit of both. Obviously, you're sharing the Gospel all the time, but you're also going into the community and meeting needs, so that, if your church was to shut its doors, that the community would be sad about that, because you're going out there to senior centers, you're going out there to the schools and all these different areas and loving people. And if we're doing that right, then it should be making an impact for the kingdom.
Yeah, well, we're out there giving them hope, Dave. I mean, the hope in Jesus, but also the hope in, there is a church, and that church cares about me. Those people there at that church, they're loving me, and you know, and you know, so they're not used to that. Their life it might be in a rough point, and so you're offering the love of God to them, and that opens up their heart to, you know, to hear the gospel. You know, once they realize that, you know, you're someone that cares about them, you know, not just going to pound them, you know, right away, pound them with the, you know, with the Bible, and show no regard for their, you know, their life and all the, you know, problems and hard times that they're going through.
Yeah, I mean, if people know you love them, they're going to be more willing to listen to you, you know. So you have to have a relationship. You have to build relationships with people. And that's what Jesus wants to do, is to love people, no matter where they're at. I mean, Jesus wasn't hanging out with the rich people and the people that had it all together. He's hanging out with people that had a lot of sin in their life, and he's hanging out with people that others looked down on. And people were really surprised that he was relating to them, and even the people that he was talking to were, like, surprised that he would talk to them. But, you know, he came to heal the sick. He came to save people from their sins. He didn't come to you know, pat people on the back that think they're perfect, because everyone's a sinner. And really, the people that are willing to admit they're a sinner are the ones that are ready to begin a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. I was also talking about, Dave, our faith in action is also our personal time, our private time, you know, with the Lord. You know, do we always examine our hearts? You know, do we repent? Do we have a repentant heart, that we're always confessing, you know, our sins, you know, to Jesus? And also, you know, do we spend time in prayer? Do we read God's word, and we meditate on God's word, you know, and we have communion, and do we seek the Holy Spirit? You know, I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, that it's also important in our private life that we have that time, you know, with the Lord. Don't neglect that part of our Christian walk either. That's an action we also need to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, because, you know, faith in action is a faith lived out, right? So it's like, when we wake up in the morning, do we spend time listening to Christian music? Do we spend time praying, reading the Bible before bed? Do we spend time, you know, reading the Bible, praying throughout the day? Do we do this? And, you know, so if Christian has a relationship with God, then, and we exist to worship and serve Him, then we should be spending a lot of time with Him. You know, it's like, and if, like what you said, if we're not spending a lot of time in prayer, not spending time, a lot of time in the Word, then that might be a sign to our heart. So, you know, we have some idols in our life that we're putting above Him. So, you know, I think it's true for all of us that we struggle with putting God first because of our selfishness and because of our sin. And I think spending time in prayer and spending time in the Word, like you said, is part of the way that God's Spirit is going to transform us to begin to really start living for Him more fully.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you have any tips and stuff that's stuff that work for you, like maybe having a scheduled time of prayer or reading the Bible or anything like that, that's really kind of helped you over the years?
I always tend to read at night. It seems like I'm going to confess, because my mornings, I try to grab as many minutes of sleep as I can before I start my day. So I read God's Word at night. You know, I'll spend like maybe an hour before bedtime, I'll try to read, you know, God's Word, and, you know, reflect on it, meditate, and then, that's my main prayer time too. And everyone's different. Some people get up early in the morning and they're all charged up, and that's the best time for them. And, yeah. Or how about your car time? If you've got half hour, like a half hour ride to work. I mean, I love to listen to, Christian music in the morning and say a few prayers on my way to work. So that, so those are, my ways of, trying to stay close, stay close to the Lord. And, because I think that's how we recharge, right? Recharge ourselves. That's our spiritual. We don't want to empty ourselves out. We want to keep filling ourselves up, right? When we read His Word, right? And and like you mentioned, listening to Christian music. I mean, I love a good good contemporary Christian music to lift me up. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, if Christianity is a relationship, so it's like you said, it fills us up. It's like, if we have a relationship with someone and we spend very minimal time with them, and we don't really talk to them very often, it's not going to be the strongest of relationships. But if we spend time together all the time and talk to each other, and with God, He wants us to relate with Him. He wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to respect Him and pray to Him and love Him and worship Him. And we need to when we take the time to do that, it's like you said, it kind of refuels us. So, if we're not used to the routine, it might take some getting used to. But like you said, it really recharges our souls to spend that time with Him and feel closer with Him and deeper in love with God.
I was thinking of the picture of daddy coming home and the little boy or girl running to daddy, happy to see him. He had just come home from a hard day's work, and that little child just kind of hanging on daddy's leg, so happy, and wants daddy to spend time with them. And I just say, how God wants us to have a heart like a faith of a child, and so. I was just thinking of us as children being excited to be with our Father, when He comes home. And that to me is, I just thought of that picture, and I just thought it was kind of cool that, as daughters and sons of God, that we should love our time with the Lord, be excited.
Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, you can tell the difference when, people... Some stages in life, there's that real close relationship, and there's other times where it's not. And God desires for us to make sure our relationship with Him is always close. And He doesn't say, move away from me when you're doing bad. He says, draw nearer to Him when you're having a hard time. So I think a lot of times we tend to move away from God and have less action in our faith when we're struggling, but that's when God wants us to draw nearer,
Yeah. Well, I think our human nature. Isn't that, Dave, when things aren't going well, part of our being is we almost want to be just left alone, right? But God says, no, come draw near to me. I want to be with you at this time. I want to help you get through this, this tough time, right? I'm going to walk with you, like that the one poem about the footprints in the sand, right? When the missing footprints on the sand was when Jesus carried that person, because they thought that Jesus had left them. He goes, no, that was the time I carried you.
Yeah, I mean, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, they're hiding from God, ashamed of their sin. But, we got to remember that Jesus already died on the cross for those sins. So it's like they're already paid for it. You just need to repent and go to Him and tell Him you're sorry, and He'll embrace you wholeheartedly. So there's no reason to duck away from God if you're willing to repent and turn away from your sins and give Jesus your life, because then you're forgiven forever. And so that's an awesome God, and that's a God worth serving and living for a faith and action. And then that You know, Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So basically, you know, like, what offerings do we need for our sins now? I mean, Jesus already died for our sins. He was the eternal, you know, perfect sacrifice for our sins. So we don't need to go and have a lamb die for our sins. Because Jesus died once for all, for all of our sins. And so God says, you know, you don't need to take an animal to die in your place because you sinned. So Jesus already died in the place for your sins, so what should you do now? Use your life as a sacrifice for me. So God already did the sacrifice for us, and he says, if you love me, now give me your whole life. Let that be your sacrifice that you give back to me, you know?
Yeah. What is it? Is it in Deuteronomy where it says that God prefers obedience rather than sacrifice, right? Isn't it written in Deuteronomy, if I'm correct, that God prefers our obedience?
Yeah.
Rather.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus says that too, doesn't he? Some of those lines of, you know, God desires our mercy and justice over, you know, sacrifice. Is that from Isaiah? I can't remember where that's from, but you know, I know Jesus definitely repeats that. And yeah, God's not after a ritual. He's after our hearts, and he wants us to have hearts of love for him and hearts of love for others. And it's all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. God's always been after us and loves us. And thankfully, he had a plan to save the whole world. And we'll celebrate in a few days Christmas. And Jesus was that way to be saved. So definitely a God worth serving and having a faith in action for. And yeah, there's no other way. That's what God calls us to, give everything to him. Have a full faith in action. And that's the requirement, and God helps us do it. But that's his desire. If we love him, that's what he wants us to do. And we all need to be in a lot of prayer, because we're all going to fail in many ways at this. But
forgiven
we should
us.
At least have our heart's effort towards it.
Well, you know, Dave, time has flown by tonight, and that's a good thing. This was a great show, and you know, it was well said. Amen. And I need to wrap things up, but David, thank you again for calling. I hope to hear from you before Christmas. I just want to say that December 24th, Christmas Eve, is my son David's birthday. So Dave, happy birthday to you, and I want to thank you again for all you do to help this show, you know, make this show a blessing.
All right, thank you very much for that, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you before Christmas, but Merry Christmas to you and Rick and all the listeners, and if anyone's out there that is not part of a church now, it's definitely worth going to a church and hearing the awesome Christmas story about how Jesus loves them and was born to live a perfect life, who would later die for their sins and rise again. That they believe in him, they can be saved forever. So I pray that everyone out there that has not believed yet will believe. And it's an awesome thing. And you guys have a good night.
Thank you, Dave. You too. You have a good night. And God bless.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye. Okay, we're winding down quickly here, folks. I'm just going to say a quick prayer. And then I'll play the closing song, whatever time I have left. Dear Lord, I just pray blessings upon all the folks out there that are listening. I pray for their hearts. I just pray that they just have a heart that knows you, wants to serve you. And I pray that you bless them and fill them with your peace. And you give them that blessed assurance, and that you would bless their Christmas. And just bless their lives in many, many ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now I'm going to play. I'll play the only Christmas song I have right now. Mary, Did You Know? Good night, everyone.
Did you, your baby boy?